Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And so, Father, we're investing in you because we love you. We're giving, Lord, not because of the duty or plunking the bucket, but we're giving because as your children, we understand the principles. We understand the ways of God. We thank you that you've brought revelation into our hearts. And you want us to be signs and wonders. You want us to move way beyond our ability. You want us to move way beyond what we can achieve or what we can do. And you want us to step into a supernatural realm of increase where you can exalt and you can lift us up and say, look what I can do. So, Father, we partner with your purposes. We engage you in your word. We engage you in your kingdom and your ways. And we command right now. It says those here on earth, they receive tithes, but it says in heaven, you receive. So arise now, Jesus, and thank you. Right now, arise. Command your richest blessing on your people. Do it now. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel blessed right there. My goodness. I do. I feel blessed. Don't you feel blessed? How are you? You folks are looking really good, man. This is incredible for July and in the summer and a lovely summer. We had such a nasty winter, and it's just good to be such an amazing place and see so many lives and warm bodies in the house today. Amen. Any Brazilian soccer fans here today? No? Just Bill? That's feeling sad. A few. All right. I was wearing my Brazilian jersey yesterday, and it didn't help. But anyway, so be it. Hey, go with me to Psalm 103. We're going to continue. We're going to spend probably about 5 weeks on Psalm 103. Going to explore the benefits of what it is to be a child of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. How many enjoyed last week a little bit? If you weren't here, you can go into our archives and you can listen to it. And if you didn't, you should, because I don't want to do a massive recap today. I just want to move on, but I want you to embrace forgiveness. It's something that so much of the body of Christ doesn't even understand. The first level, just the understanding of forgiveness and what that means. And it's such a wonderful thing. So we talked about forgiveness last week, and today we're going to step into the next aspect, which is healing. Say healing. Amen. So Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5 up here on the screen, it says, "Forget not all his benefits." I mean, I love it. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." You know, I'm going to say that again. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Amen. I mean, he forgives all my sins, or he forgives all my iniquities. He also heals all my diseases. He redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. There's just the five lovely things right there: forgiveness, healing, redemption, being crowned, and being satisfied. So we're going to deal with all five of those. And today we're going to jump into "He heals all your diseases." All right, next slide there says, "He forgives all your iniquities and he heals all your diseases." Now, I group that together and I want to look at it together because the Word of God groups it together. Now, I know some folks today in some circles, you know, some circles, they totally get that he forgives all your sins. They totally get that. They're for that. They preach that. They think that's solid all the way through in every generation. But there's some people today that take the next phrase and say, well, that's not for now. You know, and he just, that we, you know, sometimes I think it's, well, we don't see it all the time, so we've kind of pulled back a bit because, so we're just going to maybe, we'll create a different doctrine and say that was for a different dispensation. That was for another time, and it's not for that now. But the forgive your sins thing, we're good with. Forgiving your iniquities, we like that. We're keeping that. But the heal all your diseases thing, we're going to explain that away into a dispensation or use some doctrine to just tuck that away. That doesn't always happen. We're not opposed to it, but you know what, we're not as firm on that as the forgive all your iniquities thing. Did I make sense there? And that's really the way it is in a lot of places. How many ever heard people pray, you know, if it's your will, Lord, to heal these folks? And basically they're saying, we don't expect a thing right now. You know, we're not expecting nothing, but just to throw this in, because not about me, it's about you. And if there was a random explosion out of heaven and you healed this person, we'd all go, woohoo! We're not expecting nothing, though. So if it be your will, it is his will. It says it right here. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. It is his will. And I don't want to separate it. I want to hook it up. I want to link it up. And I want you to have it hooked up and linked up. And I want you to believe that with all your heart before you leave today. All right. Isaiah 33, 24. And the inhabitants of Zion. Everybody say Zion. Who knows what Zion is? Say that again. Don't be shy. Say that again. How do you know that? It is written, because he said it. How do we know he said it? We know that in the New Covenant, in Hebrews chapter 12, he said, we have come to Zion, and he explains it. And don't you love when the Bible interprets the Bible? Not Pastor Carl interpreting the Bible, not Fred, Bob, or Sue interpreting the Bible, but the Bible interpreting the Bible. Even when the Bible interprets the Bible, people still try to explain things away. But look, it says Zion, the inhabitants of Zion. I put Zion in because it's up further in the verse. It's actually not in that verse, but he's saying you people, you inhabitants of Zion. Says the inhabitants will not say, I am sick. This is a prophecy headed for the church. This is a prophecy in the new covenant. This is a prophecy for the church, Zion. They're not going to say, I am sick. The people who dwell in it will be forgiven of their iniquity. So what do we see here? We see here that trespasses, iniquity, those things are tied together with sickness. All those things were covered in the one act called the atonement, the finished work of the cross. When Jesus died, he died for your sins and he died for your sicknesses. He did it. He did it. Everything necessary for you to be forgiven and healed is accomplished. Just say, I believe it and I receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, next verse. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely. I mean, not maybe, not even possibly, not even hopefully, but surely. Surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our weaknesses, our distresses. Some translations don't put sicknesses in there, but it is indeed the word sickness. Surely he has borne our sickness and carried our sorrows and our pains of punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken and smitten and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy. I mean, we considered, well, you know, God did that to him. But you know, it wasn't about him, it was about us. That whole cross thing was about us. You see, he did it. Next part of the verse. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and the iniquities of us. And the chastisement necessary to obtain us peace, to obtain well-being for us, was put upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Now, I read that to you in the Amplified Version just because it explains it just a little bit better and a little bit more. But by his stripes, we have been healed. There's iniquities and there's healing. All these things, they're covered in the atonement. They're tied together in the finished work of the cross. You cannot separate them. It's unbiblical to separate them. Okay, give you Matthew 8. Here's Jesus. He's ministering. Crowds are coming. When the evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons, and he drove out the spirits with a word, and he restored to health all those who were sick. Don't you wish he was here today? Don't you wish Jesus was in the room? Don't you wish you could reach out and touch the hem of his garment and... He is here. He is more here than ever. He is present right now. You are in the presence of a living, risen Savior. By the Spirit of God, you can reach out and touch him right now, and you can be healed. Can you be forgiven of sin today? Can you reach out and be forgiven of sin? Can you experience forgiveness, that gift that was given to you by God? Can you experience that today? The answer is yes. Then the answer for healing is also an absolute yes. Ha ha. Woo. My. All right, look at me. Look, give me 1 Peter 2:24. You know, when God repeats himself and he lays it out in such a way, you reckon you should pay attention. All right, 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore it. Himself. himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, have you died to sins? Oh, no, I committed one on the way to church. I didn't say, did you commit one on the way to church? I said, did you die to sins? I don't know. Did you accept Jesus? Did you accept his death and burial and resurrection on your behalf? Yes, then you have died to sins. I didn't say, can you commit one successfully? I said, are you dead to it? Are you dead to the impunity of it? Can it ever be put on your account? Ever? No. Why? He's given me and he granted me at the finished work of the cross once and for all time forgiveness of sin. Settle down. I know it's exciting. All right. He bore it in himself on the tree that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. You see that dash? You know what that dash means? Let me summarize what I just said. That's what the dash means. In summary, let me say this. You know that he dealt with all your sins. He dealt with all that. He removed your iniquity. Let me summarize that. By his stripes, you were healed. I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus. It is Jesus in this place. I have touched the hem of his garment. Oh. I touched the little blue strand in the tassel. I touched it. I touched the wing of his garment. It says there's healing in his wings. Oh, hallelujah. Knowledge of forgiveness does remove the reproach or the condemnation from your life. Do you know what causes disease and sickness? Condemnation. Reproach. It's amazing. The word reproach, it's the one letter in the start is offense, and they go from this way to this way. But the one letter in the front, if they're all Hebrew letters have picture words. There's pictures for every single Hebrew letter in the alphabet. There's pictures. So when you read Hebrew, you can see pictures. You can actually take the letters and make pictures. But it's ease and rest on one side, and there's a fence in front of it. But it says, he came and he removed the reproach. He took the fence away from my rest, from my healing, and from my ease. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There are no barriers to you enjoying every benefit of a risen Savior. I am so excited right now. I could run and jump. I could leap over all those chairs. I could clear their heads. In the spirit, of course. How do you get healed? How do you get healed? I mean, how do you get healed? I want to know. How. It says the same way you got forgiveness. It's wrapped up. They're tied together. Well, how did I get forgiveness? He graciously provided it, and you believed it, and you received it. So look at this verse. You are saved how? By grace. You're saved by grace. You're not saved by the quality of your faith. You're saved by the quality of his grace. You see, it's like you're hanging off a cliff, and I reach over and go, I can save you. And you go, I believe you. And then you reach out your hand, and I pull you out. You know, pulling up your hand is going, I believe you. Faith is stretching out your hand and saying, I trust that you can take me out of this dilemma. And it's very, very simple. It's just straight out, I believe you. And when you engage that, and when you say, I believe you, the result of the finished work of the cross, the expressive, the incredible, the overwhelming grace of God is always flooding towards you. Always. Ah, Jesus. Man. Sozo. Some say sozo, but it's actually sowed. Say sowed. Like I sowed some crops last week. I didn't actually, but I sowed. It's sozo. 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 Sozo, rescue, save from destruction, heal, and restore to health. By grace, you are saved from destruction, you are rescued, you are healed, and you are restored to health. Does anybody need health in their body? Sometimes, you know, let's quit just waiting until I need a healing. Let's claim health right now. I have health. I claim health today. I claim a healthy body in every way. Hallelujah. And I need to work out and I need to eat right so I can have that healthy body. That's works. We step into works pretty easy. Should you show some stewardship? Oh, sure. But you know what? It doesn't say that you're healed by what you eat and what you, you know, how you run and what you do. It doesn't say that. You know, God literally said in Isaiah, I've seen your willful ways and yet I will heal you. See, we disqualify ourselves and say, well, I probably deserve this. A lot of chocolate bars and done a lot of dumb stuff. And we really think God goes, yeah, I saw it. I saw everyone. I got a calculator here. I've seen every time in the last year that you've ate French fries. Oh, you saw that. Oh, my goodness. So I've probably disqualified myself from wellness. No. You can confess health right now. You can claim health right now. Well, because if you believe that, then you have to apply that to sin as well, that your sins are forgiven based on your efforts as well. He should forgive me because I've been trying real hard. I've been trying to be so good. I should experience his forgiveness because I've been good for a week, so I should at least. No, it's totally untrue. And you can't do that, but people mess it up. Oh, you're saying that people shouldn't try to be healthy? No, do all that. Be healthy. Do all those things. But healing has nothing to do with what you're eating or not eating, or else I'm telling you, the poorest people in Africa who can only get some scrap or a bug or a worm, then you know what? None of them could ever experience divine health because they could never eat properly. If it ain't true there, it ain't true here. Well, we should all be healthy because we can eat right. Yeah, how's that working? I see the healthiest people on the treadmill. I'm healthy. Look at me. I'm awesome. Aren't I cool? I'm at the gym of self. I worship me. How come that fat guy's still alive, but the healthy guy had a heart attack? Condemnation. Reproach. Okay, hallelujah. How many are excited they came today? Isaiah, I've seen your willful ways, yet I will heal you. Didn't I say that, honey? Did I not say that? I did. Honey, come here. Let me pray for your hearing right now. In Jesus' name. My God. It's a shame somebody as pretty as you can't hear me. It's awesome. Mark chapter 5, verse 20, when he saw their faith. Isn't that amazing? When he saw their need, when he saw their brokenness, when he saw their pitiful situation, when he saw, when he saw how hard they were trying, when he saw their faith, he said to the man, your sins are forgiven you. When he saw their what? Did you know that you can see faith? You can see faith. Jesus said he saw faith. Peter later on said when he saw his faith, he said be healed. Paul said he saw faith. You can see faith. You can see fear. You can see doubt. You can see unbelief. And you can see faith. I tell you, you see people. You see in the room people. Boop, boop. They're up on the radar. Woo, look at that. My goodness. Boop, oh, there's another one up on the radar. So good. And then they see other people up on the radar. They're holding in there. They're in faith right now. Wow, that one fell off. What happened? You know what you do? You go find the black box. And you know, when you find the black box, you replay just before the crash. It was like, it's not for me. It's not going to work for me. I know it. I got it in my family. Everybody in my family is sick. We're all sick. What's on your black box? All right. So here he is. He saw their faith, and then he says, wow, your sins are forgiven. Pick up your bed and walk. And then the guys, the religious people around, they're going like, who can forgive sins but God? They're freaked out. Now listen, in their culture, they were not freaked out by the healing. The healing's okay. Because they believed in healing, and healing was okay. People could heal people. The healing was all right. What bothered them was Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Pick up your bed and walk. So what did Jesus do? Jesus tied together healing and the forgiveness of sins. And you know, I love the pattern here, forgiveness of sins and healings, because you know, when the sin's taken away, when the condemnation is removed, when the reproach is removed, there's nothing in the way of me receiving the grace of God. You see, they were freaked out about that. Now us, you know, we're not freaked out at all when we say, your sins are forgiven you, hallelujah. But if we were to say, you're healed now in Jesus' name. Well, they are not. They still got that club foot. They're healed in Jesus' name. Well, I don't mind you saying you're forgiven, your sins past, present, and future, but then they go sin again. Well, I thought their sins are forgiven. They are. Never, ever to be held against them. Wiped away forever. Never to be impugned towards them, ever. But then we get freaked out when we see somebody still successfully sick after we've prayed for them. Is it weird that you actually see somebody who accepts Jesus who successfully later on falls in sins? But we're all confused when we actually see somebody later on who's a believer that we've prayed for who's still sick. It is confusing. I don't understand it. I see a lot of people healed. I want to see healing all the time. I want to see it flow like a mighty river. But, you know, I've seen times where I go, why? What happened there? I don't quite get that. I don't know. There's still things that happen that I don't understand. And, you know, I'm sure that when I get into heaven, full revelation will come. I go, I get it now. But I don't get some stuff right now. I don't understand why some people and believers are still. It's like, I don't understand why some believers still successfully sin either. But I believe God's word. And I believe that he's forgiven us all our sins. And he's healed all our diseases. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, so look at, we have a hard time, you know, with them. They couldn't believe the sin thing. With us, we can't believe the healing thing. Because we think, oh, leading somebody to Jesus at the altar, no problem. You know, pulling somebody in a wheelchair, we better pray and fast. It's the same action. It's the same finished work. It's the same cross that did it all. All right, give me another verse. Yes, sirree, Bob. The new covenant. We talked about this last week. The new covenant. For this is my blood. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission, for the abolishing, for the wiping away of all sin. Acts chapter 13, 38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached. Because of what Jesus did, because of the finished work of the cross, we preach this. What do we preach to you? The forgiveness of sins. Not that you can be forgiven, but that sins are forgiven. That's the way it is. That is the way it is. It's not that you can be. Here's the good news. You are forgiven. Believe the good news and receive the benefits of it. Now, you can ignore the benefits of it by not believing it, but that doesn't change the fact that you are forgiven. To enjoy the benefits, you've got to say, I believe that, I receive that, and then you walk in it. But everything necessary for it to be done has been fully accomplished. Fully accomplished. Give me another verse. Jeremiah 31, 29, 31, 34. Hallelujah. Sound like Jack Kimby there. Jeremiah 31, 29, 31, 34. Hallelujah. Here it is. In those days, say those days. Not these days. Not the days back there, but the days forward. There's coming a day. There is a day coming. It says, in those days, they shall say no more. See, we used to say, and we say, that the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be put on edge. So he's saying there's a new day coming where that's not going to happen anymore. There's a new day coming where that saying is going to be abolished and we're not going to say it anymore. Well, you know, it runs in our family. We got these problems. We got these afflictions in our family. And, you know, grandpa had it and, you know, mom had it, and I got it, my kids will get it, and it kind of runs in the family. We have a disposition towards diabetes, so you got to be careful, you know, lay off the chocolate bars, because you know what will happen to you. There's a lot of garbage thinking in the body of Christ. We are more indoctrined by Dr. Oz than we are by Dr. Jesus. All right, please send your emails to dcarl@impactlondon.ca. All right. Not going to say it anymore. Everyone's going to, give me the next verse. Next verse, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Say new. Say new covenant. I'm going to cut a new deal with you. We're going to cut a new deal. Jeremiah, living in that covenant, a prophet of doom and gloom and weeping and tears and mourning. It's all bad. You're all going into captivity. God can't stand you anymore. He's washing his hands of you. I mean, even the skies, they're going to turn their back. They're all going to turn their back because you've forsaken him, and now it's all bad. But then all of a sudden he turns a corner and he says, but behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new deal. I'm going to cut a new deal with you in the house of Israel. And he says, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more. And the whole crowd went, what? He's going to do, you mean no more running back to the temple and blood sacrifice? No, it'd be a new deal once and for all. Jeremiah's like, man, here we go. Jeremiah, man, that's a pizza prophecy, that one. We better judge that one. I don't know what he had last night for eats, but, you know, he's not the doom and gloom guy today. What happened to him? Now, give me another one. All right, give me another verse. John 19. When is the day? Here's the day. Here's the day. What day was he talking about? Here it is. After this, Jesus knowing, what did he know? What did he know? I'm dying of thirst up here. No, that's not it. What did he know? He knew that all things should be accomplished, that scripture might be fulfilled. I love that song. Do you remember that old song? When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. How many remember that one? Like, think about that. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Not in an annoying way. Oh, I can't stop thinking about Carl. Oh, my God. Get that out of my head. No, when he was on the cross, I was in his mind. I was there. And the whole time he's there, beaten to a pulp, I mean, in excruciating pain and agony, here he is. I mean, I'd be going, get me out of this mess. That hurts. I hate pain. No, he's literally in a sound mind saying, I've got to stay focused on the redemption of mankind. Unbelievable that somebody who should have been dead long before this, he was beaten to death, yet he hung on in his spirit. He stayed strong. He pursued your redemption right to the end. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Oh, I'm preaching like a Pentecostal now. But look what he said, because of the scriptures. He said this, why? Because of scripture. He said, I thirst. Why? Because he needed to finish something. What did he need to do? I thirst. A new vessel full of sour wine, sour grapes, was taken and put on a sponge and put in his mouth, and he didn't drink it. I love what it says. It says, and he received it. He received all the sour grapes. Didn't you talk about this last week? I did. I'm talking about it again so that you'll go, what was it Pastor said last week? I was excited about that. I can't remember it now. Telling you again. Why am I telling you again? Because healing is tied to this as well. Because sin is tied to it, but so is healing. And they received the word of the Lord with great joy. Amen. There was, and he drank that. And after he drank it, he said, it's finished. After he drank it, he said a word in the Greek, and it wouldn't have been a Greek word, it would have been an Aramaic word, but the Greek word means paid in full. It's a word they use at the market when they say, how much are those apples? Well, they're $10. Well, I'm going to take those apples. Here's the $10. They go, paid in full. Everything necessary for your freedom, paid in full. There's nothing left to pay. There's nothing else owed for your freedom. It's done. You don't have to add anything to it either. I got to lay off chocolate bars, though. A lot of you resisting that right now. A lot of you just drunk on Dr. Oz and all that other crap. I'll take you to India, where they can't even get a meal, where they eat dirt. When you're eating dirt, there's not a lot of nutrients in it. You know what? You got to trust Jesus there for life. And they cook their dirt on cow dung. Isn't that exciting? It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up a spirit because he said, I finished it. Now, the Hebrew word is kala. The Hebrew word is very interesting because it's very same as you pronounce bride the same way. And it's the same as come forth new creation or come forth my bride. Everything is prepared. Come forth new creation. Paid in full. Come on now. I love it. I love it. Okay, why did I say all that? I thirst for your forgiveness, your freedom, your healing. So that's what he's doing. You were on the mind. The pain that you feel right now, he was thinking about that. Any disease or anything that would attack you, whatever it is, that was on his mind when he was on the cross and he was thinking about you. I reckon that's good news. What do you do with good news? You say, I believe it and I receive it right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give me another slide. I've lost my notes altogether. It's just a mess over here. I don't know what's going on here. All right, Mark. I love this guy, Mark. Listen to this guy now. This is Timaeus, blind Bartimaeus. He's in Jericho there. He's at the gate because that's where beggars went. They went to the gate, try to catch people coming into town with some money and begging at the gate. And he had a garment provided by the priest that meant he could beg. Now, he went out of Jericho. As he went out of Jericho, that's Jesus, his disciples, and a great multitude. Say, great multitude. There's a massive crowd of people following Jesus here, all right? And it says, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. What does Timaeus mean? Timaeus means son of uncleanness or cursed. So here it is. He is a cursed man, son of a cursed man. You see, what it was talking about in Jeremiah was generational curses. It said the generation will be visited to the first, to the second, to the third generation. It says these sins, they're generational issues. That was the old covenant. There were generational issues. But you see, Jesus said, I am going to remove the iniquity. I'm going to remove the generational issue once and for all. It is gone. And he drank it. He received the sour grapes so that you can drink living water and walk in absolute freedom. How do you get healed? Drink living water. How do you do that? Go yum, yum. Timaeus, son of a blind man. Here's a guy who was literally sitting there in a generational curse. Sat by the road, and when he heard, everybody say heard. When he heard that Jesus was going by, he began to cry out, I am within reach of the Messiah. I am within reach of my freedom. There is healing in his wings. I know that if I touch him, I know that if I come in contact with him, I will be made whole. In the old covenant, if an unclean thing touched a clean thing, it all became unclean. In the new covenant, if an unclean thing touches a clean thing, it all gets clean. It's a new covenant. I got to be afraid, you know, evil people touch you. You got to be afraid. I got so much life in me. Knock yourself out. You'll get blasted with heaven. Because the new rules are, if an unclean thing touches a clean thing, it all gets clean. So knock yourself out. Chase me down to Walmart. The curse on this guy's life got completely broken, and he was liberated, and he was made whole. The Savior's here right now. What you've heard right now, if you've been listening, see, because he heard. There were a lot of blind people. There were a lot of beggars at the gate. But this one beggar said, there is a breakthrough for me today. I have heard that people who touch him get whole. I heard he went to one town and he healed everybody. I heard about a woman with an issue of blood who was unclean, and she reached out and touched his garment. She was healed by one touch. I heard about him. I've heard, and he's the one who's within my reach. Jesus! You're the curse breaker. You're the one. You're the one who's going to cut a new deal. You're the one who, through you, I will be set totally free. Who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. Real fast, you ready? Example of Bartimaeus. Don't wait for the best conditions. Well, I don't want to be healed today. I'm busy. I've got a lunch appointment. Today's your day. Just turn to your neighbor and say, today. Take personal responsibility for healing. Well, I'll go for healing if he calls me out specifically. Like if he calls out my specific affliction, I'll know it's time to go up. Take personal responsibility. Let's get it done today. Don't be hindered by others. Well, I got to give somebody a ride home. Who cares? They can wait. Well, other people might say, oh, they keep on going forward for healing. When are they going to give it a rest? Shut up. Be persistent. Well, I went before, Pastor, and you know what? Maybe God's trying to teach me something. He never teaches you with sickness. I will not put any of the diseases of Egypt on you. He doesn't discipline with sickness. You know what he disciplines with? Hugs and kisses. All right, I'm gonna hug you. I don't like that behavior. I'm going to bring you closer to me. I'm going to draw you right into the grace zone. I'm going to embrace you, and I'm going to squeeze the snot right out of you. I hate it when he does that. I would rather that he hit me, but he hugged me again. I can't fight them hugs. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Release your faith. You know what? You're saved by grace. You're healed by grace. It's done. It's already there. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. Wow. Oh, God. Oh, boy. But like I said, you know, he's like, hey, I got the power to lift you up. Everything is finished. You have absolute access to me. Like, hey. Be specific. What is it you want to be healed from? What is it? Come on. Be specific. And then there it is. There it is. Come on, stand up with me. Where's John Orshinsky? Is John Orshinsky still back there? John, I don't have a lot of time for this, but I'm going to ask John to come up here right now. I'm going to let you sit down for one more second. I know you're all excited. I heard keys rattling and all kinds of stuff. So I'm going to ask John to come up here. I'm going to ask Kevin to come up here too. And I'm actually going to give their testimonies quickly for you. But I just want to have a person. Come on over here, John. They can nod in affirmation. All right? But John right here, when we first met John, Tammy told us about John, and Tammy went to Hamilton and prayed for John. He was in the hospital in a coma. I was preaching a sermon about, you know, Jesus could heal only a few horostos people. And that's, he'll heal only a few sick people. But he said that word is where we get the word comatose. So apparently he only healed people in comas because they couldn't not have faith. So it was his faith. He just loosed it, got him done. And Tammy said, I know a guy in a coma. So she went and prayed for him. So anyways, John's in the hospital. Tammy prays for him. He comes, starts hanging around with us and gives his life to Jesus. And then we're in our living room with a bunch of young adults talking about healing and saying, isn't healing awesome? And everybody talked about how they want a greater revelation of healing and health. And John was sitting there. We got around to John. What do you think, John? And John said, man, I thought that I got saved just so that now I won't go to a lost eternity and I'll know Jesus. I never really considered that God really wants to make me whole and heal me. And what were you suffering with?
I had leukemia and multiple sclerosis.
And they told you you're pretty much done. They'd pensioned you off and said it's over.
I had a severely scarred left ventricle and diminished lung capacity, so I was never supposed to work again.
Now, I didn't say anything, but before I could say anything, all the young adults in my living room pounced on him. I'm not kidding. They pounced on him. It was tongues. It was spit. It was all kinds of stuff. None of the spit was necessary. But anyways, you know, and John came out of that whole thing, went back to his doctor. His doctor said, man, the scarring is gone. All these things are gone. Your blood work is fine. The leukemia is gone. The multiple sclerosis is gone. And then John said, I'm going to go get a job. John got a job, and John is now a unionized electrician doing heavy labor, married that girl who prayed for him, and they got three little girls. All right. Is that all true?
It was Tammy's friend Stephanie that prayed for me in Hamilton. Well, yes, everything else.
It was Tammy's friend Stephanie, but everything else was true. Okay, I got to get that straight. I got to get that straight because we want it to be authentic. But Tammy was involved. Yes. All right. Good. Thank you for correcting me. I appreciate that. All right. So that's awesome. Now we got Kevin Downey. Now, if you were here a few weeks, who was here a few weeks ago when we had Kevin's wife give a testimony? How many think that was right? I wish we had that recorded because it was so powerful. But the guy she was talking about is this fellow right here. Like, I mean, Kevin was totally healed of Crohn's disease. I mean, his Crohn's was so severe. I mean, they were talking about putting him on some kind of medications to help him that would have cost, like, how much? $50,000, $60,000 a year for just the medications to try to keep Kevin alive. Kevin's like, my God, I don't want to do that. And they're in a room where people are on dialysis, and they're sitting in a room with all these sick people going, this isn't our future. They're like, we're not going through this. And I mean, they believe God. Kevin, you told me that, I don't even remember saying it to you, but you said, how will I know I'm healed, Pastor? And I said, when they tell you to go off medication. And I don't even remember that story, but they said you go off medication. You said, I'm healed. And you just received it then, and everything shifted in your body. And then when they took the next, what do they call that thing? I know, I don't want to say it, but it was a colonoscopy. What did they say? How did they say your colon was?
They said I have a perfectly fine colon. No, they did biopsies of all the way up to my small bowel, found no signs of Crohn's. They said the only thing that they found was that there may have been inflammation in the past. So I received that, and I just had a big grin and basically ran out of there. But since then, I went back and looked at all of my documentation from that because I'm a nurse at the hospital and I'm able to get access to my own power chart through, you know, signing certain documents and all that stuff. So I went through and, like, did the timetable of it, and yeah, it's pretty amazing. Like, in 2010, I got diagnosed. I went to Talladega with you on the way back. You remember how sick I was on the way back. That was when I got hit really hard with it. I went from moderate in 2010 to, like, severe Crohn's in 2012. They put me on medications in 2012 that was killing my liver. And I said to you, how am I going to know I'm healed because I'm on all these stupid medications? You said, they'll take you off the medications. So they took me off the medications. God healed me. In the process, I learned to eat healthy, so I'm not going to get away from that, you know, and I'm just going to treat this body like a temple now, but I don't believe whatsoever that it was the diet that healed me, because I got blood work 3 weeks apart. My liver is in critical levels, and then the day that I felt God heal me, I got blood work in the office that day, and that blood work came back perfect. So that's my story.
That's his story, and he's sticking with it. That's right. My question in all of that is, how could he have sat in the car with me, such an anointed man, and still been sick? I don't know, Kevin. I don't know. Hello? We got people here completely delivered. How many know you don't get, Hep C doesn't go away? We got a few people today. We got the documentation. I wish these stories are nice, but we need facts. We've got the facts. Gone. Totally healed in Jesus' name. There's so many other people in this room that I could have stand up and talk about healing. So many more. Don't you wish every once in a while you'd see a miracle? Hello, bing, bong. That's just a couple right there. And you know what? Even if they didn't have a testimony today, I preach to you the good news of the Word of God. And better than anything else, you know what? His Word never, ever fails. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, come on, stand up with me. Praise you, Jesus. Thanks, guys. That is so awesome. So awesome. Come on, lift up your hands right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the good news. And we thank you that it's your good news. We thank you that it's your word. And I Father, you know, if I don't have the ability to make it real clear to everybody, would you, by your Spirit, make your good news so apparent to every heart right now? Let every person experience your goodness now in Jesus' name. Just put your hands down, bow your head just for a second. Bow your head just for a second. Look, if you're here today and you don't know the joy of having your sin forgiven, you don't know the joy of embracing him as your Savior, if you've never done that, I want to pray with you right now because you can know Jesus as your Savior today. Oh, boy. And it's real easy. I'm just going to count to three. I'm going to say one, two, three. But when I say three, I want you to put your hand up. And you're going to put your hand up because you're saying, I want to know the joy of my sins forgiven. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. And you can because he already accepts you. He accepts you. He accepts you. Now, will you receive him? All right. So I'm going to count to three. And if you want to say, I want to know the joy of my sins forgiven, I want to know the experience of that, I want you to put your hand up. Ready? Remember, one, two, three. Ready? One, two, three. Just lift your hand up really high so I can see it. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Anyone else? Right now, you still do it, even if you miss three, four, five, six. Hey, everybody, we're going to pray. Let's all pray together. You ready? Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful news that I've heard today, that you love me and you sent your son. You paid it all so I can know you. I believe that with all my heart. I receive you right now as my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you for saving me, body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, look at me really close. Look at me. Look at me. I want to tell you something. Your sins are forgiven. They really are. They're gone once and for all. You don't have a sin relationship with the Heavenly Father anymore. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High. Isn't that good? That's good. All right, one more thing. You ready? You want prayer today. There's something. You're like Bartimaeus. You're saying, hey, today, I'm done with this. Today, I'm walking out of this sickness. I'm walking away from it right now, today. And that's you. I want you to come to the altar. We're going to have people come up right now. There's people ready to minister to you. We got a ministry team that can agree with you. And you know what? When you see them, it's not their hands. It's not their words. It's the life of Christ. It's the life of Jesus himself. And you can walk out of here totally free, free from sickness. If what I said today is true, and it's absolutely true, you can put a demand on that right now that you can walk out with freedom and liberty. So I tell you, if you're sick in your body or you have any other need, any other thing that you need prayer or ministry for, I encourage you to come to the altar today and receive. So I'm just going to pray a blessing over you. I'm going to loose y'all to go and enjoy the day. I'm going to pray for you. I love you guys. I love this house. I'm so grateful that I get to pastor such an awesome group of people. And so be blessed. Father, I pray your love would just explode in every life. The height, the depth, and the width, and the breadth, Spirit of God, reveal it to everyone how much they're loved. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your unmerited favor. Let the revelation of it just wrap every single person here today. Holy Spirit, thank you for your partnership. Thank you that you are personally involved with me every day. that you walk with me, that you manifest the life of Christ in me, that you give me wisdom and strength. And I just thank you for your partnership and just for your favor on me every day. So I pray, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let the blessing of the Godhead be on each and every one. Let us go in your glory and minister and demonstrate your favor, causing many to say, take me to your leader. Bless each one now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.